Good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. This is the day the Lord has made, and we are prepared to rejoice and be glad in it.
Thank you.
Good morning again, and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. We're delighted that you're here, and especially if you're here for the very first time or you've just begun visiting recently, we want to express our hope that you will become a part of our family of faith here. Now, one way to do that, of course, is by getting involved in what God is doing here at West End. You can find lots of opportunities for that in your bulletin inserts. I'm going to lift up just a few and direct your attention to those, but there are lots more. I hope you'll read about all of them. First of all, our Creation Care Recycling Day is this coming Saturday, May 6th. You can find a small insert that gives you all the details about that. It was a very successful event last year, and we trust it will be this year as well. Also, our last Brood Theology for this spring will be Wednesday, May 3rd at 6 p.m. at Tennessee Brew Works. I know some of you are regulars in that conversation. If you're not, you might want to join it, although this is the last of the season. It will pick up again in the fall. And finally, our Sanctuary Choir Evensong is May 7th. You can read more details about that in the large bulletin insert. I know that many of you have been here for our Evensong worship services, and if you have, you'll be back. If you haven't, give yourself a treat and come. Did you ever meet someone and your first impression was completely different than the impression you had once you got to know them well? It's almost like knowing a different person. Now, of course, it's just our perception that changed, but sometimes it feels like it's that person who has changed and is different. We have some stories about that coming up. Stick around.
Lord Jesus Christ, be present now.
come to give glory to Christ who frees us. Find joy and peace in the love of the Lord. In confession, we turn to God, allowing the light of Christ to illuminate our lives. Let us acknowledge our transgressions and together seek the grace of God. Let us pray. Eternal One, we acknowledge that we cannot overcome our inner darkness. Pride defines us. We seek value in our own accomplishments, forgetting our true identity in you. Selfishness motivates us. We hoard our material and emotional resources, failing to give to those around us. Fear haunts us. We obey our desire for self-preservation, ignoring the abundance of your world. Divine light, illuminate the dark places in our souls. Teach us what it means to be your light in the world, so that our pride, selfishness, and fear may be transformed into love. Accept Christ's gift of unending and overflowing forgiveness. Thanks be to God who supplements our deficiencies and leads us in the way of love.
Thank you.
One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Caleb and Lori Hemmer bring their son, Evan Seth Hemmer, to God before the community of faith for baptism.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth by water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Now, Lori and Caleb, I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? Will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, profess his faith openly, and lead a Christian life? Now, congregation, do you as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If you do, please say, "We do."
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ.
We will surround this child with the beauty of love and forgiveness, that he may grow up in service to others. We will pray for him, that he may be a true disciple who walks in the way of peace and life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection, and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away his sin and clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. What name is given this child? Evan Seth, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May I lay hands. Evan Seth, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born of water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all of your days. Amen.
Evan Seth. Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Evan Seth to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Evan Seth, and we welcome you in Christian love, as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Let us now pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel according to Luke. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place here in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?' That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Seated, and if there are other youngsters who'd care to join us, you're welcome to come on. If you want to bring a parent or grandparent or friend, that's okay. I have a story to tell you today about a man named Elijah. Now, Elijah appears in the early part of the Bible, the Jesus Bible. And Jesus would have known about Elijah, and there were even some people who thought Jesus might be Elijah when they first encountered him. Well, now, there are lots of stories about Elijah, in part because Elijah never died. He simply went to God without passing through death on chariots that had fiery wheels. And so in the Jewish tradition, in Jesus' tradition, they expected that they might see Elijah around any corner, in any place whatsoever. But often he came disguised. He was wearing a costume of sorts, and usually it was a costume of a very poor person, someone who had to beg food or clothing or shelter or water. And so this story is about a man who had a farm on Mount Carmel. Now, on Mount Carmel, there are these round stones that you can see to this day that are about the size and shape of cantaloupes or honeydew melons or small round watermelons. And they said that this man was a very, very prosperous farmer, and he grew melons on that hillside right there. And he could sell them for a good bit of money in the nearby cities. So one day when Elijah decided to come by and ask him for one of the melons, the man didn't want to give him one because that's like giving him his money. But instead of just saying no, he made up a story. He said, "Oh no, you look at that hillside. It looks like there are lots of melons about this size, like cantaloupes or honeydew or small round watermelons," he said, "but that's not really what you're seeing. What you're seeing is the hillside covered with stones about the size and shape of melons." And Elijah said to the farmer, "Because of your selfishness and your hard-heartedness, what you have said is true." And when the farmer looked at the hillside, all of his melons had turned to stone. There was not a single one that you could eat. And to this day, if you go to Mount Carmel, you can see on the hillsides there round stones. And I'm sure that's why they started telling this story in the first place. Well, I'm going to tell some more stories about Elijah and how he appears to people, and then a story about Jesus that's very, very similar to some of the Elijah stories. So as you listen, you'll know what's going on, right? Let's pray. Thank you for sending us people like Elijah to help remind us of who we are supposed to be and that we are supposed to share. Thank you for sending us your love in Jesus to teach us how to love one another. Thank you for being with us at all times to help us be your loving light in the world. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And thank you for coming down. Well, it's little wonder that they thought Jesus was Elijah, because if you expect Elijah to show up around any corner, and Elijah is typically showing us up for who we are, pointing out our limitations and how limited our love is and how selfish most of our attitudes are, that's a lot of what Jesus did. Let me tell you another Elijah story. There were two very prosperous farm families, and they were celebrating a wedding. The son of one marrying the daughter of another. They had a large hall there. They had a huge banquet laid out. And Elijah happened to come by as the celebration was going on. Well, he appeared as a beggar, which he often does. He came to the door of the hall, and the people standing guard didn't know him. So they asked the groom's parents and the bride's parents if they knew him. They didn't know him. They said, "Send him away. If you let him in, he'll be stealing the food. He'll be stealing the silverware. Get him out of here." So Elijah, as Elijah can do in these stories, went around the next hill and transformed himself into a finely dressed young nobleman. He came back to the wedding. The guards still didn't know who this was, didn't even recognize him from before. So they asked the groom's family and the bride's family, "Do you know this guy?" They said, "Well, no, we don't know him, but they had some younger daughters who were of marriageable age, and they thought, he looks so nice, let's just let him in." So they invited him to come in, this finely dressed young nobleman. He walked to the table where the banquet was laid, and the first thing he did was to grab a roll and stick it in his pocket. Then he took the yogurt dip and poured it into an upper pocket. He took a little soup and poured down his pants. Ow! He took some celery and stuffed down his collar, and they said, "What in the world are you doing?" He said, "Well, let me explain. A few minutes ago, I was here dressed as a beggar, and you sent me away. Now, just a few minutes later, I come dressed in fine clothes like a young nobleman, and you welcome me. So I'm the same person. It must not be me you're welcoming, but my clothes. So I was feeding my clothes." That's the kind of stuff Elijah pulls. Those are the kinds of stories he tells to show us how truly limited our love sometimes is. You know, sometimes I think that God's love and God's judgment are the same thing. That God's love is so expansive for all people and all of creation, and the judgment comes when we realize how limited our love is compared to God's. That's what judges us. We judge ourselves by our actions and our attitudes, our behavior. Now, Elijah didn't stop appearing in ancient days either. There's a book called Hasidic Tales of the Holocaust in which this story is recounted. There was a family picked up by the Nazis to be shipped off to Auschwitz. When they got there, a young boy was separated from his mother, from everyone he knew. He was put in the line with the men. She was put in the line with the women. He couldn't find her, did not see her anywhere. Now, in Auschwitz, if you could be experimented on, if you were a good candidate for medical experimentation, you would be directed to where your life would be saved, at least for the time being. If you had a skill that the Nazis valued, then you would be sent to where your life would be saved, at least for the time being. If you didn't, you'd be sent to the ovens or to hard labor until you could labor no more and then to the ovens. The young man is standing in line with the rest of the men. He knew none of them. When he got to the table where the doctors and the other officials were, they said, "Do you have any skills?" And before the boy could answer, the man behind him, whom he had never seen, an older man with a long beard, answered for him, said, "He's my apprentice." So the doctors and the officials said, "Well, what do you do?" He said, "We create slate mosaics." Well, the Nazis like beautiful things, and so they directed both of them to the side where their lives would be spared, at least for the time being. Well, the two got separated, and the boy never saw the man again. But the boy survived the camps, came to this country, moved to Los Angeles, worked in the film industry, and though he was never very religious, if you asked him to his dying day who that was standing behind him in line, he would tell you it was Elijah. That's the kind of thing Elijah does. Not only does he point out the limitation of our love and how narrowly we can confine our love, he also helps us save our lives. Reminds me a lot of this story we just heard. Doesn't surprise me at all that when he first appeared, a lot of people thought Jesus was Elijah. Because what does he do? He points out the limitation of our love and he helps save our lives. The story begins later in the day on the first day of the week. These two disciples are coming from Jerusalem, where apparently they had gone for the Passover, had experienced the crucifixion, had felt that their world had completely collapsed, all of their hopes had crumbled. And now that their rabbi was dead, in whom they had placed all of their hopes and dreams, they were heading back home to Emmaus. They're talking about what happened in Jerusalem, trying to figure out how in the world things went so wrong when they're joined by a stranger. And the stranger walks along with them and asks, "What you talking about?" Well, now Luke lets us in on a secret, who the stranger is. The stranger is Jesus, but the two disciples don't recognize him. So they tell Jesus, unbeknownst to them, his own story. They tell him their interpretation of what was supposed to happen. We thought he was the one who would send the Romans packing. We thought he was the one who would end the occupation. We thought he was the one who would restore the throne of David. We thought he would be the Savior of Israel. And now look. And then the stranger begins to interpret his own story, although they don't realize it. They think it's just their story. He begins to interpret that for them and reframe it in much the same way that he had before, but the disciples didn't get it. They couldn't hear it. They were so invested in their own idea of who the Messiah was and what the Messiah could do and would do that they could not hear what now this stranger was telling them. He calls him slow to believe. Finally, after this conversation, they arrive at their house. And in good Middle Eastern fashion, they offer hospitality. That's what you're supposed to do. It goes all the way back to Abraham and Sarah. He offers hospitality, and of course, the stranger begins to walk past, to walk on, because that's what you're supposed to do too. You're supposed to say, oh, no thanks. But they urged him to stay. That's a part of the ritual of Middle Eastern hospitality. And when they urged him to stay, he did. They sat at table. And what should have happened is that Cleopas should have taken the bread, broken the bread, gave it around the table to his companion, to the stranger. But that's not what happens. No, if you listen carefully to the story in Luke, what happens is this. It's the stranger who takes the bread before Cleopas could hold it, takes it and offers thanks for it, and breaks it and gives it to those people who are in their own home. He acts as host in a home that is not his. Does that pattern sound familiar? It's exactly the same thing that happened at the Last Supper. It's exactly the same pattern that we rehearse every time we celebrate Holy Communion. Take, bless, break, give. Now, there's no mention of a cup here, but that Eucharistic pattern, that pattern of joyful thanksgiving, is replicated here, and when he breaks the bread, there's something in the way he does it that the two disciples recognize who this stranger is. He's not a stranger at all. This is Jesus who's been walking with them. And as soon as they do recognize him, he's gone. Well, they rush back to Jerusalem to tell the rest of them, to tell their story and how they met a stranger on the road and only recognized him in the breaking of the bread. Just as in the Jewish tradition, any stranger you meet, especially one who might be the least of these, could be Elijah. Any stranger we meet could be Jesus. The stranger who disagrees with us about political or religious issues, the stranger who has a different skin color, the stranger who comes from a different country, the stranger who has a different language. Any stranger could be the presence of Jesus in our lives, could be telling us our story in a way we need to hear it. And when our circle of love is drawn so tightly that it can't make room for the stranger, sometimes it's drawn so tightly that it can't make room for Jesus. Which would be a very sad thing, I think, for those of us who claim to follow Jesus. But the good news is, if we give the time and the energy, any stranger, especially those who might be the least of these, could just be Jesus for us. You know, I love this story. Not only my enthusiasm in telling it today, but a couple of weeks ago, I had written a poem that Dominic Doreo set to music, and You heard that poem if you were here on Easter. You heard that sung by the choir. It's a beautiful piece of music, remarkably well performed. I want to read you the words now, because I don't think I can say it better than this. They walk the road, but not alone, approaching home as night comes near, the sorrows of the day repeated. He walks the road a stranger, the only one who knows, and hears his life-death story told. A tale of loss they think is all their own. They speak of death and dreams defeated. Are you the only one who did not hear? We thought he was the one foretold, the one to keep us from all danger and the power of the Romans' overthrow. Come in and eat, they say at journey's end. He sits at table, breaks the bread. They watch him in their brokenness and dread and recognize the stranger as their friend. May it be so for all of us that we recognize the stranger as our friend, that we see in the face of the stranger the face of Jesus. Thanks be to God. We get to tell our story in lots of different ways. One of those is through our affirmations of faith. So I would invite you to stand as you're able. Turn to number 889 in your hymnal and join as indicated as we tell our story together. There is one God and there is one mediator, Christ Jesus, who came as a ransom for all, to whom we testify. This saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners and was manifested in the flesh, vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed in through the world, taken up in glory. Great indeed is the mystery of the gospel. And now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, I invite you to share signs of reconciliation and love with one another. The peace of Christ be with you.
The allergies. Boo. Good morning and welcome to Strangers and Friends here at West End United Methodist. We're so glad to have you with us today. If you're a guest among us, we extend a special word of welcome to you. And if you'd like to travel to Reed Hall, it's through the doors directly to your right. There's coffee there and fellowship opportunities, ways to find out more ways to be involved. If you'll find someone with a blue name tag, those are our Andrew ministers, and they can help point you in the right direction. In the pew racks in front of you, you'll find a gray card. We invite you to record prayer requests here, indicating if they're to be shared or confidential. And you can place that card in the offering plate that will come by in a few moments. Please take a moment to record your attendance with us. There's a pew pad that you'll find on the center aisle. If you'll sign that and pass it along, noting who you're worshiping with and say hello to them. Now let us go to God in prayer. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Risen Christ, as you journeyed with the two who traveled the Emmaus Road, travel with us on our journey of faith. Although we too may not recognize you at first, open our eyes and hearts to be aware and awake of your life in our daily life. In our encounters on the way, give us compassion to listen to others' stories, patience for obstacles we find on the road, and courage to make ourselves vulnerable, so that we might experience love and belonging in you and with one another. Open our eyes, light of the world, to your work of transformation in and around us. Help us to recognize and welcome the stranger in our midst. May our welcome be a celebration of the gifts and graces of all people, especially those who are different from us. You were known to the disciples in the breaking of bread. May your resurrection presence guide us in the decisions we make about what we eat and how we use our bodies. We pray that all would have enough to eat and that we would use our hands and feet to work for justice. We thank you that you travel with us in our joys and our concerns and for teaching us this prayer for our journey. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Each of us has been given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Let us give as God so abundantly has given to us.
Thank you.
As you can probably tell, I'm a little sniffly today. I think it's allergies, but because I don't know for sure, if you come out my door, I will honor the presence of Christ in you by bowing and probably not shake your hand or hug you and take the risk of giving you something that I might have. Before you go, we have a really special occasion to celebrate. Tuesday, May 2nd, will be the Reverend Dr. Ewart Watts' 102nd birthday. And so we celebrate with Ewart that milestone, and my guess is we'll be celebrating that again next year because he keeps hanging on. And now go forth to find Jesus in all that you meet, especially the stranger. Serve God and your neighbor in all that you do. And know that God, whose love is with us at every moment, Jesus Christ, who is accompanying us as God's love in the flesh, and the example that we can follow, the Holy Spirit empowers us to follow that example, to be the loving light of Christ in the world. Go in peace.